Blog Talk Radio.
Here we go, bending down the hatches. It's Monday, the madness. Live from Pearl River, New York, Talk Geek with Tyler Brook. Yours truly, Mark Mancini, producing it about 3,000 miles away in Los Angeles, 347-205-9631. That'll get you to the front. Anything after that, sitting around roasting anything, talking with some friends, catch the archive version of blogtalkradio.com/Mancini Sports, podcast platforms, wherever you subscribe to podcasts, powered down by Mancini Media. So without further ado, it's more of him, less of me, as I lay the red carpet down, put the podium in its place, hand off the mic, the threes, Tyler. How are you? How can people get a hold of you? And you're bringing this sidekick 60 feet 6 inches to throw the baseball with, Mr. C. Take it away, my friend, as I run the board.
Thank you, Mark. Hello and welcome. We got another episode of Talking with Tyler Brook. As always, I'm your host, Tyler Brook. Mr. C, how the hell are you doing today?
I'm doing great, man. How's it going?
Going good, going good. Before we go any further, I want to give a quick few birthday shout-outs. I want to give a birthday shout-out to my buddy, Rickman of Rickman Art, who did my logo for my other podcast, Geek Talk with Tyler Brook. A happy birthday to my niece, Riley. Love you, Riley, if you're listening to this. And happy birthday to my other niece, Shay, who's got a birthday coming up. And if any of y'all want to have me wish a family member, friend, or other very happy birthday, feel free to chip in for a little, extra cachiche. You know, some people want to plant trees. Some people want to be a night officiated. Some people want Amazon gift cards, and some people want radio people to wish them a happy birthday. I'll wish whoever you want happy birthday, but I'm not going to do it for free. But that's end done. Mr. C, who are you? What do you do? Where can people find you?
I'm Mr. C. You guys can find me on Facebook under James Celestin. I do a podcast, Sports Dudes. I also do a TikTok page, Cash Now NYC, which you can find me on TikTok and Instagram and any social media platforms. Just hit 500K followers, and we're just going to keep on keeping on. We're going to be doing coverage of, for all you football fanatics who also love Geek Talk, I will be live at MetLife this Thursday for the NFL draft. So if you guys check out our page, you'll find some sport content for those who also like sports.
Terrific, terrific. Our episode today is going to be talking about characters that debut in media. Well, let's face it, many of our programs, whether they be television shows, movies, or OVAs, as anime would call them, do come from one very important source, that, of course, being comics. And to quote Chelsea Rice, quick shout-out to Chelsea Rice, pretty much everything we have is essentially glorified fan fiction. And as such, the characters we get from them may not always be loyal to said adaptation. And on top of that, there are times in which we actually get new characters from the show itself. Now, Mr. C, I know you're a big DC fan, but let me ask you, do you prefer Marvel or do you prefer DC?
That's really dependent. If you're talking about comics, I would prefer comics and animation, I would prefer DC. If you're talking like cinematic or as far as movie is concerned, I would prefer Marvel. So I hope that
even with the state Marvel's going in?
I mean, my counter to that is, what does DC have that can top even what Marvel is going through?
Now I'm hearing good things about the Shazam movies and the new Flash thing.
I'm very mixed on the Flash. I've heard very mixed reviews. Shazam, I've also heard equally mixed things as well. So I have to see it for myself. I haven't seen either of them. But the Marvel state, even though Marvel's in kind of a dull state, I still would see them. I'm still going to see the Guardians of the Galaxy movie. So I will still take Marvel movie-wise, but everything else I would take DC.
All right, that's fair. I think what we can honestly really say about adaptations as far as mainstream media goes is that they do introduce us to characters that are not just known. Let's look at the two most popular characters for each group. We got Batman and we got Spider-Man. Their villains are more well-known than pretty much any other franchise villains. Sure, you can say, oh, I know Magneto is a supervillain from Marvel, or I know Lex Luthor, but do you think the average person would name as many, say, Wonder Woman villains as they could name Batman villains, or could they name as many Fantastic Four villains as they could Spider-Man villains?
Nah, I think, though, that Batman's rogues gallery is very well popular. I think if you're like a, you have to be pretty much a well-known fan to know. I think the Flash's rogues gallery is a, you know, I mean, Reverse Flash is pretty popular.
I would say Flash is a very close second.
Yeah, I would say, but I would say Batman's rogues gallery, I mean, Joker, Penguin, and Superman, you just have Lex Luthor, but I think Lex Luthor is the most popular one. But I would agree with your sentiments, because if you look at Marvel's villains, I mean, Thanos really became popular primarily because of the movies. I mean, if people knew Thanos, Thanos is a lot more popular in the comics than in the movies. But
his method of actually killing people, or I guess killing individuals, is a little more selfish. But they don't want wanting to sleep with a human skeleton with tits. No, they just said to provide balance. We actually have a few more comments already. Gary from La Cruz, New Mexico. Hey, guys, nice to see you two back doing the damage. This show is dope. Gary, thank you. Joey from Bucks County, Pennsylvania. When is Comic-Con coming to New York? As always, Joey, Comic-Con is a September September event for us at Comic-Con. Dylan from Chelmsford, Massachusetts. Marvel blows out DC Comics. Hands down. Don't you agree?
Mm-hmm.
Dylan, I
no.
do not agree. And I'm going to tell you the four best-selling comics globally. Globally, it goes Spider-Man with the top seller. That's number four. Followed by Batman. Followed by One Piece, believe it or not. And then Superman on top. Though, to be fair, Superman is the reason why we have the term superheroes.
Yeah, I mean, without Superman, there's really, like, a moot point. And to go back to my Thanos point, I mean, let's think about this. Talk about a guy who wanted to wipe out humanity because he wanted to impress Lady Death.
That was never going to sell.
I mean, in movie terms, theoretically, it makes sense. That's why you get the whole Thanos was right people. But if you look at the comics, I mean, he's a pretty selfish prick. I'm sorry. He's pretty selfish for doing that. But if you look at throughout the medium, don't you feel that DC Comics, like, they're introduced throughout media, like, they get more popularity as opposed to Marvel characters that make their debut through the media?
Well, DC's kind of funny that way. But first, Harry from, I'm probably going to butcher this, Atascadero, California. Happy birthday to Riley. Tyler, love your show. I mean, let's call a spade on this. Every time DC and Marvel does something, there are a lot of times they use the same characters. I mean, let's look at Harley Quinn. She was supposed to be a one-off character in Batman the Animated Universe and became popular throughout the DCAU and as such been used in many forms of media, or to the point where she has her own show. And honestly, I just find it laughable that people say they want a relationship like Batman, like a freaking Joker and Harley Quinn. Congratulations, you want Stockholm Syndrome.
That is pretty toxic. What about the speaking of debut through media? What about the Terry McGinnis Batman? He made his debut through the media. I believe there was a comic of the Terry McGinnis Batman.
Yeah, I just find it funny that we get an original character instead of a Flash series, a Wonder Woman series, or even a Green Lantern series, the latter of which didn't happen much later, and it was like that weird, not 3D, but not 2D either. It's kind of like that weird in-between. You know that?
But I wonder why, though. Why is that?
I don't know. But, I'm not complaining about the outcome. Don't get me wrong. I mean, that's why we have Justice League and Justice League Unlimited. But it just would have been nice to see how everybody else got their beginning, like the same way we saw Static and Batman and Superman and so on and so forth. John from Swix, California, Iowa. Can't English today. Tweek City, Iowa. Who are the best women villains? Poison Ivy, Catwoman, Mr. Freeze's sidekick, and the old Batman, Black Widow. Honestly, there are a lot of good women villains out there. But as for every good women villain, we do have the also stupid sidekick trope that we've definitely seen to death. I mean, my personal favorite are Bebop and Rocksteady from the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle franchise.
I feel like they use the sidekick trope, and it's been like used to death. It's always been used to death. Like it's always like the same story, and there's no originality to these, man. It's always just like sidekick. They do whatever the main villain's bidding is.
Let's call spade to spade on this, Mr. C. Every story's been told. You just got to find a different way to tell it. A good example of this is Princess Mononoke from the Ghibli franchise.
Mm-hmm.
Sure, you get the man versus nature trope, but it's so much more than that. Each person does what they do because they need to do that. The forest gods defend their forests. Lady Eboshi digs up the forest to find iron to defend her town from the Emperor, and San tries to kill Lady Eboshi for attacking her home. So there's no real villain in that story. Antagonist? Sure. But villain? Absolutely not. But what I personally find funny about Bebop and Rocksteady is that they really didn't get an actual name until like about 30 years after they made their debut. They just knew them as Bebop and Rocksteady. Is that interesting?
I didn't know that.
It's not until the 2012 series where we got the thief, Anton Zeck, turned into the Tron suit Bebop, and the Russian arm dealer, Ivan Stranko, into the Russian Rhino.
It's funny. I would never have known that. And I'm very good to know. Now, do you think by introducing all these characters to the media, do you think that it also could kind of hinder it because of oversaturation?
In a way, yes, because I believe Batman has so many villains, but every time there's a new Batman series, it does focus on a lot of these same characters, your Jokers, your Penguins, your Two-Faces, your Riddlers. Harley Quinn's been abundantly used for a character that's been like around since the 90s. Honestly, I'd like to see a little more Killer Croc action or a little more Clayface action. Or even the villains we don't use as much, like, say, Mr. Pig, or are there any Batman villains you don't think we see enough of?
I mean, how come Scarecrow?
You're not wrong. He was part of the Nolan trilogy.
I'm also wondering, why we always focus on, like, the Joker and all the other villains, but I kind of want more, like, complex villains. Like, I want more villains that think that they're doing right, but they're really wrong. Like, look at Magneto. Theoretically, he's trying to protect his own people, but his method of doing it is wrong. Just like in Killmonger.
Speaking of Magneto, We got a drum roll. Which MCU character actually debuted in the MCU before becoming in the comics? Now, on top of that, I think there's another X-Men character we should actually talk about. That, of course, being X-23. Yeah, are you familiar with X-23?
I think X-23.
You remember earlier when you were talking about tropes?
Yes.
I think this kind of falls into that same trope, the clone trope.
Are you talking about the X-23 of Wolverine?
Yeah.
Yeah,
she actually made her debut in X-Men Evolution. Specifically in the year 2003 and has been in the comics in 2004 onward. But yes, she also falls in the trope of the clone. Gargoyles had Thalog, Keybidge and Gargoyles. Superman, has Bizarro. And while technically not a clone, Flash has Reverse Flash. So whether it's clones or alternate versions of themselves, that is kind of a trope within itself.
Oh,
but it does work.
I didn't know that.
Oh, yeah. But honestly, there are, or hell, even if I can take that step further. Do you remember X-Men, the animated series?
Yes.
Morph was also that character just debuted in the X-Men series. Or hell, take that a step further. Spike, Storm's nephew in X-Men Evolution, was also a quote-unquote filler character who didn't make his debut in the comics until much later.
So here's my thing. With all of these characters making their debut through the media, what would be the success rate of them actually, you know, gaining popularity as opposed to those who are oversaturated with the same tropes?
Well, I think it really depends on the character, honestly. I mean, Harley Quinn is way more recognizable than any of the other characters we've mentioned to date. I mean, hell, Lockdown is another good example. He was a bounty hunter in Transformers Animated, but I would say he's more like a combination of Lobo from DC Comics and kind of like a Frankenstein thing, where Lobo, in the sense he's a bounty hunter, but every time he finds a new piece that he likes, he adds it onto himself, kind of making it into like a Frankenstein-esque thing. It's actually up to the point where he was not only written into the comics, but became a villain for the live-action movies. I want to say the third one? Yeah, the third one. But let's face it, people only know the Transformers movies for Michael Bay movies for three reasons: explosion, Peter Cullen voice, and Megan Fox tits.
And ever since Megan Fox got kicked out, it's just been, you know, it's been average at best.
Well, I mean, let's call spade to spade. From the Bumblebee movies onward, they've gotten better, and I am very intrigued to see what Rise of Beasts looks like, but my standards for it aren't that high. But what I will say, I do find it funny that we get a returning voice actor for it, David Soboloff, who originally voiced Depth Charge, but he's not returning as his character. He's voicing Rhinox instead. It was originally a Richard Newman voice.
And that's true. And if you're thinking about all these, like, these Transformers movies and all of them talking about debuting through media, like, I kind of feel like if you're going to make a debut through, how are you going to make a debut now, especially with this generation of people, where it's like, I know superhero movies are supposedly still the thing, but is there a way that you can make these characters have, like, actual characters? And, like, because I feel like they have the same generic backstory as pretty much every single character we've known for, like, ever.
Well, sometimes a lot of characters' backstories blend. Goku is a good example of such. He was the last surviving race of a forgotten planet.
Like Superman?
Which, funny enough, yeah, pretty much. Which, funny enough, kind of ties in to another comic-inspired character, that being Broly. But I do find that the two forms of rage are completely different. If you remember the original Broly movie?
Yes, I do.
Yeah, that was a really stupid way for him to get upset. Oh, I bet you're wondering why he hates Kakarot. Not really. It gives me life. It all started when they were in the maternity ward together. And he cried a lot. And, oh, that's it. Didn't my father try to kill him? Yes. Then why doesn't he hate me? Oh, no, I hate you. Well, I hated your father, and therefore I hate you. But Broly hates Kakarot because he cried a lot. For like 3 hours. And then we get the Toriyama Broly. Got a little more character depth to him. And the reason of his rage was actually losing his father. So I think some good actually does come from this. The whole characters not being introduced in the original source. But rather any adaptation. But we've been talking about Joker a lot. I say Joker is very funny. Do you know why?
Why?
Off the top of my head, he's the only character to be portrayed by a Star Trek and a Star Wars actor.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, obviously we know him as classic Mark Hamill's Joker. But in Young Justice, he was voiced by Brent Spiner, who all of you may better recognize as Data from Star Trek Next Generation, and Puck in Gargoyles, which, again, hashtag keep it in Gargoyles.
I just find this whole thing like interesting. Whereas, like, you know, with all these debuts and all this now, has it affected the quality of you know, of their debut? Like, how have their debuts have an impact on like the entire like universe that they're in?
Honestly, character development is a lot like a recipe. If it's not rushed and actually taken the amount of time it needs to, it can turn out into something great. But if it's rushed and kind of forced, it's going to end up like shit.
So how would you say the development is?
Well, I mean, let's look at Harley Quinn. She originally started as Joker's girlfriend. And as you can see, she's definitely been abused through that time. And then eventually she joined up Suicide Squad, and then eventually she became her own character and cut all ties with the Joker and eventually have a loving relationship with Poison Ivy.
Hmm.
I mean, that said, I do believe Harley Quinn has been used a lot more than she needs to. But to be fair, at this point, it's like I think it just feels like with the exception of Young Justice, and the Nolan trilogy, I can't think of an example where Joker was in the media without Harley Quinn. Can you?
No, not Batman the Animated Series. What about early Batman with the Adam West vehicle?
With who?
How about the early Batman series with Adam West as Batman? You know. The TV show.
Well, again, bud, Harley Quinn didn't make her debut until Batman the Animated Series. So Harley Quinn wasn't even a thing.
But you said give an example, and I just gave you an example.
Okay, so let me rephrase that. Can you give me an example where Harley Quinn wasn't with the Joker after her initial debut?
Do you want to count the Suicide Squad movie or no?
Oh, You mean with, like, inner city Jared Leto Joker? Yeah, that's a hard pass.
Then no. Then no.
I don't know what they were thinking for that character design. I mean, but look, there's no, I don't expect a copy and cut paste for every time they do a Joker or a Batman, but what the hell were they thinking? Like, they gave him grills and shit.
I guess they wanted Joker to be gangster, which doesn't work. That's not his character.
No, I mean, if Batman had a gangster villain, I mean, maybe someone like, say, I'm just trying to think off the top of my head, like maybe Tobias Whale or something, then maybe that could work. But even then, no.
You're asking a lot.
Yeah, no, like the only quote-unquote gang villains I can think of, like maybe some Static Shock villains, but to be fair, Static Shock grew in the inner cities of Chicago, so that only makes sense.
It wasn't his fault.
No, I'm not saying it was his fault. I'm just saying that it's like, how do I put this? It's like trying to make Penguin this tall, suave, sophisticated guy, but he's not. I mean, he's sophisticated, but he's not tall. There's a reason why he's called a Penguin. He's a short guy with a long nose.
Basically.
I mean, this kind of goes to the whole faithfulness of the adaptation thereof.
Which is very important as to why test development is an important key. I kind of feel like there are some characters that maybe you can make some new characters and like try to get some of the old characters don't get their shine and make like the new world out to give these characters kind of more complexity, because a lot of these characters, even throughout like media, whether it's debut through comics or the media, like they're saying like you want to give something more interesting in that and get them into why they are where they are. And
for a lot of things, a lot of stories, but problem is they make them too complex and too hard to follow.
But you can also make them too boring and bland either. You got to have a happy medium.
Well, yeah, I think it really depends on who's writing it. Like, it just feels like Seth Rogen's not really stepping up his game as writing going. Acting, yes, but writing, no. But as far as we're going down the clock, first I'm going to answer the trivia question. Which MCU character first debuted in Phase 1 of the MCU? Bill Coulson. He made his debut as an agent in Iron Man.
Oh.
And afterwards, he has been run to the comics. So the main takeaway is that the good thing about adaptations is that they can bring in new characters as long as the characters hold up to the story and can stem off to be their own thing. Mr. C, thank you for joining me today on this episode of Talking with Tyler.
Yes, sir. Thank you for having me.
One more time. Who are you? What do you do? And where can people find you?
Mr. C, you can find me on Facebook under James Celestin. You can find me, my podcast, Sports Dudes, on all available platforms. You can also find me TikTok, Cashin' Out NYC. And, yeah, you'll see me through all social media platforms.
Terrific. Stay tuned next week as I'll be joined with returning guest Shayla Fay as we talk about how serious subjects are discussed between Western and Eastern media. But if you like this episode, like, subscribe, add all those hashtags, and recommend me to all your friends and family. If you're feeling generous, follow me on Patreon and hook a brother up with some much-desired financial love. Or if you'd like to be a guest, reach out to your friendly neighborhood Tyler Man and I'll see what I can do. But if you want to do another quick birthday shout-out, which again, happy birthday to Rick Man, happy birthday to my nieces Riley and Shay, I'd be happy to accommodate you. But until then, stay geeky.